And I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Hallelujah. Amen. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. But we can't really do that, can we? And love each other the way that Jesus has loved us, by taking our sins to himself, by accepting the judgment we deserved in his own body on the cross, by dying our death. Only he could do that. So what then are you and I called to with these words? Well, let me start with this. The rationale for hearing this gospel during the Paschal season is not unlike the reason we've heard the last couple of gospel readings. If you think back to hearing about Jesus the Good Shepherd a couple of weeks ago, you may remember that part of his goodness as our shepherd is that he laid down his life in order to take it up again. He is the shepherd who died to save us from the wolves and who lives to keep us safe eternally from death, and death has no dominion over him. And last week, we heard the beginning of John 15 and heard Jesus say that he's the true vine and that we are the branches. And part of the importance of that image is remembering that Jesus is the ever-living vine, the one who has died and is raised so that he can give us life, his life, eternal life, as we are joined to him. Because he dies no more, we shall not die. And so this week, we hear that Jesus loves us, that he's laid down his life for us as his friends, that he's chosen us. And because he is raised, we know that that love will never end. He will never cease to love us. He will never cease to call us friends. He will never cease to choose us, for he died once for all and now lives never to die again. And that's not a small thing. For think just for a moment of the rich variety of loves that we are given in this life. The ancients recognized four basic types. First, there was family love, the love, the appreciation, the affection that grows up between people just because they're around one another constantly. They are familiar with each other because they are family. They're stuck with each other. But understand this, it's not that bad. Robert Frost once wrote of family and this familiar love by saying, home is the place that when you have to go there, they have to let you in. Think of family love, not just in terms of parents and children or siblings, but think of uncles and cousins and aunts. We all have those relatives whose stories, whose style of dress, whose casseroles sometimes leave us in doubt, but we'd miss them terribly if they were gone. Familiar love causes us to appreciate in relatives what we would not tolerate in strangers. It is a powerful thing. Then think of friendship love. You're stuck with your family, but your friends, you get to choose them. And the affection and appreciation between friends is different from family, right? You like your friends. You sense your friends get you, even if your family doesn't. And you get your friends. You share common passions with your friends, whether it be hunting or gardening, books or movies or whatever. And the love between friends is something you feel privileged to know. No one has to be your friend, and you're not required to be anyone's friend. And yet, here the bunch of you are, sharing each other's joys and sorrows. Family, friends, and then romance. Romantic love is a powerful thing. As you fall in love, as you discover that you are loved by one special person, how the world changes. Suddenly, the cares of another are placed at the center of your own heart, and you want your beloved, and no one else will do. And romantic love doesn't share. You love one another and want to be loved by that one, and suddenly every little detail about that other person matters. The sound of the voice, the look of an eye, the shape of an elbow. And romantic love has the simple desire to be with the other, no matter the circumstance. And finally, the ancients recognized agape, not in the Christian sense, but in the sense that one can be devoted to the well-being of another, regardless of personal cost. It was rare. The ancients didn't think it made a whole lot of sense, but they recognized it existed. Now, you might be wondering at this point, why I'm going on about love when I should be preaching Jesus? Well, here's the problem with all of our loves. They end. Death ends them. Yes, the affection may continue in our hearts, fond memories may continue, but you all know what I'm talking about. Sadly, you may still love Aunt Betty, but when she is dead, that love is not quite the same because she's gone. You may still love your friend after he's died, but it has changed. There will be no more laughs shared, no more adventures had, no more memories made. How many husbands and wives still love their deceased spouses, and yet the absence changes everything, if for no other reason than that hand is no longer there to hold, those eyes are no longer there to gaze in. And even agape love ends by death, for all of its dedication needs an object to be dedicated to. Our loves have an end. We know that too well. And worse yet, it's not just the end that comes with death. Love can also end because hearts grow cold. Again, most, if not all of you, have experienced this. That cousin who was so fun growing up with suddenly becomes a bore. That friend who was so exciting is now a drag. That romance that seemed to fire becomes a wet blanket. That person you were devoted to becomes a pain in the neck. We've all felt it, love going bad. We've experienced it with others whose affection for us has grown cold, and maybe it was a matter of ego, maybe an offense was given, maybe we were shallow. Our loves can end, we can't control that. But Jesus' love never ends, never changes. It is the same yesterday, today, and always. And that's the good news here, that's the gospel for you. Death tried to take him away, but it couldn't hold him. Jesus loves you so much, he would not let anything keep him from you. Not death, not sin, not hell, not even you. Your sin, your wandering, your tepid faith, these he brushes aside in order to take you to himself, to wash you, to redeem you, to forgive you. He takes on agape love, and it never stops. He sacrificed his all for your well-being. Had he merely given his life for you, that would have been a wonderful gift. But as we've noted, death ends love. He had to rise so that we could know his love is always here. He is here with his love, with his friendship, with his grace, always, and he is always here for you. Think of that great love chapter in 1 Corinthians that you hear at weddings so often. Love is gentle, it's kind, it's patient. What Paul was writing about was Christ's love, the love he has for us, that hopes all things, believes all things, endures all things, that never ends. It never ends because he will never die. And in him, you and I, we shall not die. Jesus says, though you die, yet shall you live. And the one living and believing in me will never die. And it gets even better. For as you abide in him by faith, as he shepherds you, as you draw life from him as a branch drawing life from the vine, then his love for you will shape your love for others. You will begin to inhabit his love as he lives in you. Your love will become patient and kind and enduring, and you will love others as Christ loves you. Loving others as Christ loves you is not a matter of redeeming them as Christ has redeemed you, but rather it is the business first and foremost of handing on to others what you yourselves have received from Christ. He has shown you grace, so be gracious. Do good to others regardless of what you do or don't get out of it. Don't worry about what they can do for you. Just do good by them constantly, not counting the cost. Be gracious with those you know and with those whom you do not know. Be gracious even to those who have done wrong by you. After all, your sins nailed Jesus to the cross and killed him, yet he still loves you. He loves you and has shown you mercy, so be merciful. He loves you and forgives you, so you, be forgiven. Now, I don't mean to make this sound, you know, cut and dried as if it were easy. Learning how to be gracious, merciful, forgiving, how to love as Christ loves, it is the work of a lifetime. It requires, if anything, that we learn more of Christ every day and receive his love more and more for ourselves, especially as we discover all of our failures at love, both small and great. But it starts here. Christ loves you. His love shall not end. Abide in his love, doing those things that he's given you to do, so that your joy will be full. Abide in his love and hand his love on to others, friend and enemy, family and stranger, beloved and despised. Hand on his love to all. He has chosen you and appointed you to bear fruit, his fruit, in faith and love. So love one another, dear friends, as Christ loves you. For Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.